This month, we have been focusing on the act of remembering. Our rituals as people lend us to that moment, to that act of remembering. I mean, baptism, communion, these are sacred acts of remembrance and celebration. Our rituals even include the word remember, right? As we talked last week, remember me every time you do this. But baptism and communion are not our only moments of memory as people of faith. The entirety of tradition, the entirety of any tradition, is held together through memory. While we all hold our own unique memories, and even in shared events, we carry the memory of our own unique perspective, tradition invites us to join in communal memory. The act of remembering together. The stories, the experiences, and the learnings that are bigger than any one person, but that are tied to people. And those people are tied together. I say all this because honestly, I worry sometimes that the stories of our faith can feel distant, as if they're just letters on a page in some book. I mean, I worry about that happening, right? We take these stories, we put a little cover around them, those onion-thin pages, we emboss like a little golden or silver title on the cover, and suddenly there's this book and it reads Holy Bible on the front, and it's like, look, it's like a history textbook, but it's divine. As we connect to this deeper idea of remembering, I'm inviting you to imagine something with me. Not just a book that's bound together with stories that sits on a shelf somewhere for when we need it for a report. No, as we turn to our scripture today, or any day, I want you to imagine instead a large scrapbook that reads, Book of Memories. Or maybe that image doesn't resonate with you. Maybe you're more of the shoebox filled with old photos with memories scrawled on the side with a Sharpie. But the invitation is the same, to see and hear the stories of our tradition with a relational and human lens. Let's hear one of those stories now.
When the entire nation had finished crossing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Pick 12 men from the people, one man per tribe. Command them, pick up 12 stones from right here in the middle of the Jordan, where the feet of the priests had been firmly planted. Bring them across with you and put them down in the camp where you are staying tonight." Joshua called for the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one man per tribe. Joshua said to them, "Cross over into the middle of the Jordan, up to the Lord your God's chest. Each of you lift a stone on his shoulder to match the number of tribes of the Israelites. This will be a symbol among you. In the future, your children may ask, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you will tell them that the water of the Jordan was cut off before the Lord's covenant chest. When it crossed over the Jordan, the water of the Jordan was cut off. These stones will be an enduring memorial for the Israelites."
Thank you so much, Vivian. I'll tell you, having our young people read our scripture each week helps me with this, helps me see it and hear it as something that's real and connected versus just words on a page. Now, I will tell you, much like a scrapbook of any family or one of those slideshows we might have had to watch of a family vacation, our stories are filled with imperfect people and lessons learned the hard way. But what we find in our scriptures as a whole and highlighted in our scripture today is an invitation to remember the story. Remember the story. Today we heard the story of the Hebrew Israelite people crossing the River Jordan. This is after years in the desert, after their generations of being enslaved. This is the boundary between what was and what will be, between being enslaved and the freedom of the promised land that awaits. This river they are about to cross is both finish line and starting line. And in a callback to the Red Sea a generation ago, God parts the waters for them to walk through. But there is a special instruction, and it has to do with rocks. pick up 12 stones from right here in the middle of the Jordan where the feet of the priests had been firmly planted. Bring them across with you and put them down in the camp where you will be staying tonight. Now, some of you may have noticed on our altar, we have rocks. Often we have beautiful things. But these stones are stones that we have collected, paralleling the story of our scripture this day. There's a special invitation for us as well. We've collected stones on our journey. Our altar is adorned with stones right now. They're not decorative. They are the gift of those who have returned in person to worship. I invite all of you to bring a rock to be included on and around our altar. If you haven't grabbed one before, please do so now. Bring it with you the next time you are here. Walk up and add it to this growing collection of story. You see, these rocks, they mark a moment in our life together. These are the rocks that were held and kept during our lockdowns and our quarantines. These are the stones we collected and held when we couldn't be together that first Palm Sunday. Some of them have come from backyards. Some of them from sidewalks. Some are hefty. Others are small enough to be held in the palm of your hand. Some of them were brought in by those of you here with us in this room right now. Some of you may be at home with yours still nearby to you, looking forward to the Sunday that you're ready to come back and bring it with you. We've been collecting these stones for a long time. A long time. And a lot has happened since you were first invited to find and keep a stone. In fact, this one, this stone right here, this stone was chosen by Tim Campbell. Tim did not live to see it placed on the altar, but his spirit is with us in that sacred cloud of witnesses. The anniversary of his death was just last week. But Tim is with us, and so is Tim's story. I also know there are those here who will have little toddler hands place their stones upon the altar. Little hands that did not exist when all of this craziness began, who now are with us and will walk forward and place a little rock on this altar. How powerful are those bookends of life. These stones carry stories, and these stones and their stories anchor us in remembering. It's the divine hope that God places in our scripture today. 12 stones placed on the bank of a river. Why? Why 12 stones on the bank of a river? This will be a symbol among you, says the Lord. In the future, those who come after you may ask, what do these stones mean to you? God wants the people to remember. God longs for us to remember together, to tell the stories, and to be anchored in communal memory together. So what is that story? Well, in the book of Joshua, it's a story of Exodus and Promised Land, of parted waters and manna in the desert. But what of us? What is our story? The last year and a half have been beyond words at times. So what's our story? When our children, and I say that communally, when our children, when those who will come after us ask us, what do these stones mean to you? What will we say? Well, I tell you, first thing we're going to say is, we have been through some stuff. We're going to be honest. These stones represent every unprecedented headline, every breaking news alert that came through on our phones of the last 18 months. These stones represent the weight of our fears, the heft of our helplessness at times, the discomfort of our distance, and we will not hide that. Some of these stones bear the salt of tears that fell upon them, and we will remember those moments. We need not dwell on them, but we will not pretend they didn't happen. God invited the Hebrew people the same way. You can't tell the story of crossing the river without explaining what you were doing on the other side of it first. Their children needed to hear that story, just as our community needs to hear our story. or should I say stories, to hear and know the lived experiences of those around us. And that's the second reason we remember. The first reason we remember is to name and honor that we have been through some stuff. The second is to remember that we are not alone. We are not alone. In our scripture, God has them gather 12 stones, one for each family group or tribe of the Israelite people. I haven't counted ours this morning, but the collection serves the same purpose, to demonstrate the many people who are on this journey together. Our pile continues to grow as well, though we've been at a distance. Though some of you are still at a distance. And for a few of you watching, you'll always be at a distance unless you just happen to catch an international flight. This pile on our altar is the product of community. And when I look at it, when I look at these stones, I remember all of you. All of you, whether you've been able to place a stone on the altar yet or not. In fact, if you have not yet added a stone, when you do, please take a moment to look at the other stones there. Pick them up. Think about people whose names you may not know, but who are on the journey with you. You are not alone. Now, if you're online and you want to add a stone, I do not expect you to pay for shipping. Email me. We will set up a time to video chat. I will take you on a walk, and you can tell me which one to pick up. That's fine. It will be yours, and you will be here with us. I also invite those of you who may not be able to place one on the altar yourself to find a stone where you are to keep in your own space, that it might be its own little tiny altar to remember you of the larger one we share in this space. When those who come after us ask what these stones mean, we will be able to say they represent the people who were and are my community. Live streams, Zoom calls, drive-through communion, pre-recorded Christmas services, weekly emails, postal letters to the kids, social distance sacred time, progressive six-stop Easter egg hunts, daily website devotionals for Lent and for Advent. We did a lot of weird things in the last 18 months. If you would have told me in seminary I would be doing drive-through communion, I would have laughed. Progressive Easter egg hunts? Okay, here's your map. Drive to six houses, wear a mask, and don't get too close to the person handing out the candy. What? But here we are. Now, sometimes as we shared in these, as we read our devotional by email each morning, or as we watched that Christmas Eve service with a single candle lit in our home instead of being in a room full of people, some of these things felt rather individual while we shared in them, as we read them or watched them or drove through. But all of these acts were always about the idea that we were doing them together. These rocks remind us it was never just about you. It was always about us, that we were in this together and that we're still in it together. The very first Sunday I preached about the rocks crying out was Palm Sunday of 2020. When I preached that first sermon and asked you all to grab a rock, I envisioned us coming back into the sanctuary, all of us at the same time, piling our stones on the front of the altar and filling the sanctuary like we always did. But I preached that sermon on April 5th of 2020. And in that moment, I figured, oh, that'll just be a few weeks. I mean, maybe a month or two. Well, it's far beyond that now. And there has not been one single, hey, we're all back now Sunday. It's a longer adjustment. It's based on our personal needs and our personal comfort. It's based on children's vaccinations and variant variables. And some folks aren't quite ready to be back in person yet. And that's okay. We're in this together. Others are at a distance where they will always be online, which is why we had to up our live stream game. My vision in those early days was too small. One Sunday, a quick pile, and then we'll move on. What we have on our altar right now is a dynamic, growing representation of a resilient community. I love that next week there will be a new rock on here as someone adds theirs. Next month, new rock. Christmas, New Rock. Next year, when an online member happens to be traveling through Denver, New Rock. Still growing, always growing. That is something I remember every time I see these stones. We are not alone. Even now, there are more and more people all the time who are sharing this journey with us. If you watch from home, or if you simply look around the room in here, you may not know it. It can feel a little lonely and distant even still. But the rocks remind us that God is at work through this place and the Spirit is moving and alive. And that is the third thing we remember, that God is with us. The first is to name and honor that we have been through some stuff. The second is to remember that we are not alone. And the third is to remember that God is with us. Those stones on the bank of the Jordan would not have been possible without the active presence of God. Mind you, the invitation was to grab stones from the middle of the river, the ones that were only reachable because God had parted the waters. God did not want people to forget that part. Pun intended. it's a slow burn, but it's there. God wanted the people, when they remembered that moment, when they told that story, God wanted them to recall that the divine presence was right there with them. Because their journey wasn't done yet. I mentioned earlier the Jordan River was like a finish line and a starting line at the same time. Yes, they'd been through a lot, but there was still a lot ahead of the Hebrew people. And when they encountered new challenges, when they confronted the difficult days ahead, there were stones to remind them that God had been, was, and would be with them. We too are in that place of looking back while still looking forward. We know where we have been, and we're still wondering where we're going, aren't we? And so we are called to remember with the steadfastness of a stone. Woo. Or two. I said it was dynamic and living, right?
Okay.
We are called to remember with the steadfastness of a stone that God is with us. God is with us. God holds us all together. May we remember as a community. Amen.